Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So today you are going to hear the shortest sermon ever preached. Now don't get too excited. I'm not going to be the one preaching this shortest sermon ever given. Instead, in our gospel lesson, we are going to see Jesus preach a sermon that is only 9 words long. But in this lesson, we see Jesus as the master preacher be able to convey so much meaning in only 9 words. So here's the context. Jesus has just finished his temptation in the wilderness. He spent 40 days enduring the temptations of the devil, and he endured. And now his ministry on earth has begun. He is healing, he is teaching, he is preaching, and reports of him have gone out through the country. Throughout Israel, people are talking about who this Jesus really is. Reports have even come to his hometown of Nazareth. You see, there, they know Jesus. They know him as the upstanding son of Joseph the carpenter. But they wonder what all these extra things they are hearing about him truly mean. They want to know if all these things can possibly be true. And they're about to get their chance to find out, because Jesus is coming home to Nazareth. And as we saw in our text today, when he comes home, as was the custom, he came into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he gets up to read the text. And they did things a lot like we do it today, where the pastor will read the text and then he will preach. After that, Jesus was expected to interpret this text for those in attendance. And so they give him the scroll of Isaiah. And he opens it up to that specific passage he chose, and he read it to them. And it said this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now, after he finished reading, he sat down as they would have during their interpretation, and every eye was fixed on him. They wanted to know what Jesus was going to say. They knew this text. They had heard it before. They had studied it. They knew this text referred to the coming Messiah. And with all these things Jesus had been doing, surely he would have something extra, something new they had never heard before on this text. So they fixed their eyes on him, and they waited to see what he had to say. And then he started that 9-word sermon, and it started and ended with the same sentence, and Jesus simply said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And at first the room was silent. They marveled at what he had said, knowing the implications of these words. Jesus was saying that he was that anointed one who had come to proclaim liberty to the captives, to give sight to the blind, to preach good news to the poor. But they weren't yet sure at what to do, at what to expect. They weren't sure if this Jesus, this Messiah that had come, is everything they wanted and expected. They wanted him to clear it up for them, whether this is truly he who they wanted, he who they had truly been waiting for. But you know, Jesus being true God, he knew their thoughts. He knew what was going on in the minds of these men in that synagogue, and he decided to clear things up for them. He said to them after the sermon, "Surely you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself.'" And what Jesus meant by that was this: surely you're going to ask me now to do signs, to heal, to work miracles as you have heard I can do. But the reason you want them is not my reasons. You want something that I have not come to bring. Because Jesus, he knew what these men wanted. He knew what these Jewish people in Nazareth were really waiting for. They wanted a leader of the people of Israel. They wanted someone like King David who would bring their nation back to power, back to prosperity, who would do things for their people, who would build up an earthly nation of God's chosen race. They wanted a warrior king, a miraculous savior from God. They wanted Jesus to fulfill their earthly needs. And these signs they wanted were simply a sign that he could do all these things they wanted. They wanted him to show not only that he could do these things, but that he would do it for them, for their people, that he would fulfill all of their expectations. But Jesus, he had other plans. He came for other purposes. And so he reminded these people of their history, the history of the people of Israel, a history of rejecting God's truth because it's not what they wanted to hear. He brought up Elijah and Elisha, prophets who were now revered by the Jewish people, but who in their time were rejected. They were rejected because they preached a word of truth that was not in line with what the people wanted to hear. And he reminded them that Elijah and Elisha ended up preaching and healing among the Gentiles, among the people outside of the Jews. And what Jesus is saying here is that I have come not just for you, I have come for all people. I have come for the Jews and the Gentiles. I am not here to build up an earthly nation that puts you above everyone else. Instead, I am here to provide what you really need. And so how did they react when Jesus said these things to them? Well, they did like the people had before to Elijah and Elisha. They rejected him. They pushed him out of the synagogue. They even tried to kill him. A task which men like these would accomplish a few years later. They rejected Jesus because he came bringing a message they didn't want to hear. Because he came to meet things that were not their expectations. He was not the Jesus that they wanted. And so they rejected him. Today, many people fight this same battle. Today, many of us are tempted by the same human fallacy. We are tempted to seek what we want in God rather than what we need. We are tempted to seek a Jesus we want rather than the Jesus we really need. So what is the difference between the Jesus we want and the Jesus we need? Well, there are a lot of ways we can fail in this way. There are a lot of ways we can put false conceptions about Jesus and have it disrupt what we truly need to know about him. A few of these ways are as follows. Some people look to a prosperity Jesus. They want Jesus to be the one who gives them wealth and earthly riches. They will convince themselves that a deeper connection with Jesus will provide the richest life possible. Other people, they use Jesus as rationale for their cause. Whatever cause they have decided to champion. On both sides of the spectrum, you see people giving proof for their cause in Jesus' name. And then there's people who try to use Jesus' name to exert power and control. The church itself does not have a spotless history in this matter. All these false conceptions of who Jesus really is, false conceptions of what he is to us, things that can lead us astray. But there's one of these false conceptions that I want to talk about above all else, one that I think can truly be most disruptive in our current culture. And that false conception is this, the affirmation Jesus. Now, what I think the affirmation Jesus is a Jesus who simply says yes. You see, in our world today, God is no longer the priority. What is the priority? Is me. Me, myself, my body, my feelings, my desires, my rights. In our world today, it has become all about what I want, what is best for me. And that's what these men in Nazareth, these Jewish people, that's what they wanted. They wanted wealth and prosperity for their nation. They wanted power for their people, healing for their loved ones. They wanted it for themselves. They wanted a Messiah who would meet their most basic human needs and desires. We today often find ourselves doing the exact same thing, seeking a Jesus who meets our needs, seeking a Jesus who will do what we want him to do, rather than allowing ourselves to be transformed by his grace. We want Jesus to be a supplement to our lives. We choose to do the things we want, to make our money, to take care of our families, to entertain ourselves, and then we allow Jesus to come in to the rest of our lives. We do the same thing when it comes to fulfillment and meaning and purpose. We try to find it here and there and this place that is not God. And then when there's still a hole in our lives, we allow Jesus to come into that hole and make us complete. And worst of all, we often find ourselves taking advantage of God's precious grace, that wonderful gift he has given us, that radical gift of unconditional love. We take that radical love and we cheapen it by using it as an excuse to do whatever we want. The Jesus so many of us want is a comfortable Jesus that says yes, that says you are okay how you are, you don't need to change. The Jesus we want says, sure, what you're doing, it's not really in line with my law, but I love you anyway. I'm going to forgive you anyway so you can keep doing what you're doing. We use God's grace and cheapen it when we allow it to satisfy our sinful desires, to give us reason to do exactly what we want. This affirmation, Jesus, that so many of us want simply says yes. Jesus simply says that you are okay the way you are. The Jesus we want does not disrupt our lives. He only gives us the things that we want. He only enhances and supplements where and when we choose. And that was what was going on in our text today. That is what these people were dealing with. They wanted a Messiah who gave them the things they wanted, but demanded nothing from them. And we too want this Jesus who gives us the things we want, but does not disrupt our lives, who simply affirms us as we already are, who simply affirms the choices we have already made and will continue to make. But is that who Jesus really is? Is that the Jesus we really need? Because the truth is, the Jesus we want will never be enough. A Jesus that simply says you are okay how you are will only leave you with a life separated from God. The Jesus we want that simply supplements our lives and fills holes will only leave us with a life that is far from complete. The Jesus we want that meets us exactly where we are, that says you are okay as you are, that is here just to fulfill our desires, will only leave us right where we are, broken, wanting, lacking peace. The Jesus we want will never be enough. And that is why Jesus did not come to fulfill our desires. He came to be exactly what we need, a Savior, the one who proclaims good news to the poor, who gives liberty to the captives, who gives sight to those living in darkness. Jesus came not to tell us that we are okay as we are, but instead to tell us the opposite, to say, no, you are not okay how you are. You are a sinner like the rest of humanity, and you need a Savior. You need me. You need what I came to bring you, the sacrifice that I have for you. We need the Jesus who says to us, you have been separated from God long enough. You have been oppressed by sin long enough. You have been living in the darkness of sin long enough. We need the Jesus who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Jesus who says, and though you cannot come to the Father on your own, I am providing a way for you, a way through me and my death. Because through my death, your sins will die too. Through me and me alone, you have access to forgiveness and to a life that you cannot even imagine, a life so good that our human sinful desires cannot even crave it. And it's all because of Jesus, because of what he came to do for us. The Jesus we need, not the Jesus we want. And that Jesus, the Jesus who came for us, the Jesus who exists and is our God, he is all we will ever need. He came for each of us to meet the needs that we could have never met on our own. And yet, in our sinful desires, we will always find ourselves craving something a little bit different, craving the satisfaction of our sinful desires. But our Lord, he is always going to be there calling us back to him, calling us to repentance, calling us out of darkness and into his light, calling us out of the captivity to sin, calling us to hear his good news once again. And today, in a few minutes at this altar, you will once again hear that good news for you. Good news that Jesus came not simply to fulfill your human desires, but to do what you truly needed, to wash and redeem you by his own blood, to give forgiveness to those who simply don't deserve it. That is what Jesus came to do. That is who Jesus really is. That is the Jesus we really need. And today, once again, that scripture will be fulfilled. It is fulfilled as you hear the good news proclaimed to you once again. It is fulfilled as you are reminded of the freedom you have in Christ once again. It is fulfilled as people living in the darkness of sin are once again given sight by Jesus Christ. And it is fulfilled as we are once again set free by the blood of the Jesus we truly need. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.